If you don't see that you have anything to overcome, let me challenge you. No, let me dare you. Ask God to show you. Joshua 1 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He'll take that journey with you if you ask him to show you what's going on inside of you. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Anybody experience anxieties? Fear, doubt, insecurities? Yeah. Search me, O God. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 51 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Jesus was very focused on the inner issues. Remember how he dealt with the Pharisees? He very harshly reprimanded them as hypocrites, looking good, acting good, to keep a false image of goodness, while their hearts were far from true holiness and righteousness. Jesus sees right through us. You're not scamming anybody. The next part I want to take a look at is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of your mind, whether you realize it or not, the Bible teaches us that Satan is the power of the prince of the air. He has temporarily authority over the earth. The prince of the air means he's got influence over everything media-wise. Radio, TV, print, internet, Hollywood, movies. He's got influence in that. He has been propagating through those vehicles for many, many years. Whether you realize it or not, he has been slipping in the programs into our mind, the operating systems. Most people don't realize that happened. I came and sat here for 6 months when I first was searching and trying to find God and find my answers. I sat in the back of this room, and after listening for 6 months, the light bulb went on. I have been brainwashed already without my knowledge and without my permission. From the cartoons up. I'll tell you something bizarre. When I was a little guy, I watched the Roadrunner. The Roadrunner tunneled right through the earth and went and came up in China. I went down and got a shovel and started digging. I thought I could do that. And then I came in the house and I'm looking through my mother's file with phone numbers. She asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm looking for Uncle Paul's phone number. I want him to bring the backhoe. But see how it influenced me as a kid? I really believe that. There's so many things like that that we don't even realize has influenced our thinking and caused us to be filled with character defects, maybe, according to what God says, that we're not living in truth and righteousness and holiness. So the part about renewing the mind is that we have to make a decision that we're going to renew our mind. The Holy Spirit is the one that actually does it. But the way it works is the Word of God, as we read it, as we study it, as we hear it, causes our mind to be renewed, rebrainwashed. And that's what I chose to do. With my free will, I chose to rebrainwash myself. And I need to tell you that a lot of these character defects, a lot of these issues, a lot of the turmoil inside of me has disappeared because the Word of God has renewed my mind. I don't think like that anymore. I don't have those operating programs going on inside of me anymore. I had to shut off everything. No TV, no newspapers, no radio, no movies. I just shut it all off, and this became my focus, the Word of God. Might sound extreme and bizarre to you, but I beg to differ that my behavior before was extreme and bizarre. So we want to renew the mind, the spirit of our mind. And then the third part in that scripture says, put on the new man according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3 says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So there's three steps in this process. First, we want to put off the old, push it away like my dog. We want to renew the mind with the truth, wash it with the word of God. And then we want to put on the new man, which is like putting on new garments, putting on holiness, putting on righteousness. We want this to become who we are and how we act. We want it to be our conduct. What is true righteousness and holiness? I went to the dictionary to see some definitions. Sometimes we think things about certain words, we have an idea, or we have associations with it, but the best way is to really look it up and see what it actually says in the dictionary. And this is from the Nelson's Bible Dictionary. The definition of truth: God is truth. It's in the dictionary. The Spirit is truth, and Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a dictionary definition of truth. And we know that Jesus is the truth. Definition of righteousness: holy and upright living in according with God's standard. The word righteousness comes from a root word that means straightness. It refers to a state that conforms to an authoritative standard, meaning God's standard. Righteousness is a moral concept. God's character is the definition and source of all righteousness. My son tells me that there's a group of young people in the high schools and colleges that call themselves straight edges. Straight edge is someone who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't gamble, don't do drugs, they don't sleep around, they just do the right thing. I want to be a straight edge. I didn't want to be a straight edge before Jesus came into my life. I want to be a crooked edge. But God changes your heart, and all of a sudden you want to put that thing off. You don't want to do that anymore. So I want to be a straight edge. God's looking for straight edges. He's looking for people who are willing to walk in the narrow path, to walk in holiness, in truth, in righteousness. Are you willing? What is holy? Moral and ethical wholeness or perfection. Freedom from moral evil. Holy is one of the essential elements of God's nature required of his people. Holiness may also be rendered sanctification or godliness. The word holy denotes that which is sanctified or set apart for divine service. The theme of sanctification, or growing into God's likeness and being consecrated for his use, is prominent throughout the Bible. Like Jesus, the apostles taught that sanctification, or true holiness, expressed itself in patient and loving service while waiting the Lord's return. Peter urged the suffering Christians of the Roman Empire to follow God's example of holiness in their trials. And then it lists the scripture that I cited before: be holy, for I am holy, in all your conduct. We didn't just get saved to get saved. We get saved that we would grow in our holiness, that we would overcome the issues that we have. And Pastor Eric talked some time ago about the cup. He talked about when someone bumps your cup and then these feelings come up inside of you, it's stuff that's in your cup. And that's really similar to what I'm talking about here, is the issues in our heart that God wants us to deal with. They usually don't come up unless we're in a circumstance that causes them to come up. And we have friendships and relationships that sometimes these things come up. And we have to learn how to deal with them as men and women of God. one of the common things we do is just withdraw and isolate. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to just stay away from the fellowship, from the blessing that we have of meeting with one another, enjoying each other's company, and helping each other grow along these lines of holiness. What must we do to achieve true righteousness and holiness? It's impossible. Can't do it. We cannot achieve true righteousness and holiness on our own or in our own strength. Isaiah 64 says, "And all our righteousness are like filthy rags." We cannot go before the Lord and say, "God, I'm righteous because I'm a good person, because I went to church, because I work and pay my tithes, and I help people, and whatever you want to come up with a list of good things that you think are right." None of us can do that. Scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because when that day comes, the stuff under the waterline and the iceberg is going to be fully exposed before the Lord. How can I claim righteousness in that? The only thing I can do is receive Jesus Christ. This proves that what we need is a Savior. We need someone who's going to cleanse us from our unrighteousness and cause us to be right in the sight of the Father. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It can be only accomplished by believing, faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We have to purpose our righteousness and holiness and truth. What do I mean by purpose? We have to make a decision to make a commitment to be faithful. We have to make up our mind, that's what I'm going to do. When I was back drinking, I made up my mind I was going to go drinking on Friday. I was all set. That's my plan. Determined. Didn't matter what anyone thought, said, or did. So if you're coming with me, that's great. If you're not, better get out of the way because I'm going to run you over. I'm going drinking. I purposed it. Now, as a Christian, I have to purpose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in righteousness, in holiness. Now, what I used to purpose, I now put off. But that comes from making a decision. It doesn't come from a feeling. It doesn't come from circumstances. And remember, it's not just about an addiction. It's about anything. It could be a heart that maybe is jealous. It could be a tongue that speaks foul things, not uplifting things to people. It could be anger. It could be a million things. 1 Timothy says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." The purpose of this is for us to love one another and to love the Father and to do it in such a way of purity and sincerity. If we have those issues inside of our heart, that's got to get cleaned up. We have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And those issues are a hindrance to worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and therefore it limits our relationship and our intimacy with God and with one another. The next thing I would like to talk about is crucify your evil desires. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So you can't overcome these things in the flesh. You can't overcome these things with a program. You can't overcome it by battling it and winning. You have to kill it. Here's the example with the alcohol. Apply it to whatever fits for you. Alcoholic, God wants me sober. Made a decision to make a commitment to be faithful to the holiness God was leading me in. Get up out of bed, get ready to go, drive myself to a meeting, take the issue of alcoholism, stand it up, the cross of alcoholism, nail my alcoholism to the cross, and let it die daily. We have to pick up our cross and follow him daily. Because I did that, and it's not easy, but because I did that, alcoholism in my life is dead. It has no power anymore. What I used to crave and yearn for, now I'm repelled by. God did that transformation, but my part was getting up and crucifying it and following the Holy Spirit's leading on a daily basis. I have a part to play. What's our obligation? Is to be holy as he is holy. And what are we to overcome? The schemes of evil coming from outside in and from the evil from the inside out. Two battlefields. Although we've been sanctified by the washing of the blood of Christ, we have an obligation to sanctify ourselves in the flesh, letting the inner work of Christ manifest itself to the outer man. It's an inside job. It's not a program. That's why you guys talked about programs. Programs don't work. Your heart never got changed. The day you received Jesus Christ, your heart was changed. Once the heart changes, the outside things begin to fall off. Your conduct changed. That's what God's looking for. He wants to live inside of us and be our God to bring those changes in our life. What a testimony. I can see it. We've all at some time struggled with fears, doubts, insecurities, temptation, lust, greed, self-centeredness, anger, jealousy, pride, gossip, people-pleasing, and so on and so on and so on. There's a million things. Our task or our mission is not done till we've attained perfection. If we don't deal with these issues prayerfully and work to overcome them, then we are not honest with God, ourselves, or each other. We're robbing ourselves and each other of genuine, loving relationships that Christ died for. First with God, then with ourselves, and finally with each other. So it's a lifetime journey that God has called us to as believers. We're sojourners, we're travelers from sinful people to perfected people. It's called sanctification. Jesus said, "It is finished. He has overcome the world." His task or his mission is complete. He's done. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The rest is up to us to follow the Holy Spirit and to apply the power he has given us to take authority over these things that control us. We who love him are called to follow his divine will for us one day at a time. Satan will distract you from the mission. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take away your blessing. He wants to steal your land, and he wants you to be unprotected. Revelation 12 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death." We have to crucify ourselves. We have to realize that your identity is in Christ alone. It's not in these other things that many of us think it is. I thought my identity was in money, was in alcohol, was in cars, was in houses. I thought these things were my identity. They weren't. My identity is in Christ alone. So that's the part that I have to crucify. That's the part that I have to die. Those who seek to save their lives, all that stuff, will lose it. But those who give up their lives for his name's sake will find it. What's the prize? The prize is God. The prize is knowing him. The prize is being in a relationship with him, experiencing his love inside of us in a way that is beyond imagination. experiencing his peace and his joy. Secondly, it's eternal life in heaven. But you can experience the presence of God right now by asking him into your heart and surrendering your life to him and letting him come in and live and be the Lord of your life. You can experience that now. We don't have to live with all of these character defects, with all these deficiencies, with all these fears, these worries, these anxieties, the addictions. We don't have to struggle with these things anymore. But we have to be willing to let them go. And I want to just invite anybody here that if you haven't done that, if you haven't invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do that. Everyone needs a Savior. No one gets to heaven without Jesus Christ. We all have issues that are within us, that are sinful issues, that need to be washed clean for us to be made right with the Father so we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, we just lift up your name in this house. We thank you for your word and for your transforming our minds and our hearts into righteousness and holiness and truth. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless everyone that's here, that you would cause your words to rise up inside of them and bring change. That they would leave this place different than when they came in. And that you would continue them forward on this journey of sanctification. That they would be overcomers of the issues in their life that keep them in bondage. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, Father, I just pray for them and ask you to cause this transformation to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.